Shalom Mishpacha, Shalom family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. The middle wall of separation has come down to form the one new man. His name, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest by way of telephone is Mike Shrave. I'm speaking to him at his office in Cleveland, Tennessee. Mike came to the Lord about the same time that I did. It was a great move of God's Spirit at that time. And many people that are leaders today in cross denominations came to the Lord at that time. And Mike and I were kind of reminiscing a little bit. And I said, well, Mike, what is God showing you is going to happen next in the United States? And Mike, you said something to me that I agree with, but I had never heard anyone say that before. Would you tell us what you see happening next in the United States?
Well, the megatrend spiritually in our society right now is a drift toward the New Age movement and New Age principles overflowing into a lot of areas. And I believe God is going to miraculously reach down and rescue thousands from this trend. Just like the Jesus movement in the latter 60s and early 70s was God reaching down and rescuing thousands from the drug movement and the things associated with it. The big thing that the enemy is doing right now in our society is trying to push us towards such a tolerant society or state of mind that this New Age idea of all paths being relevant ways to God is dominating. And I believe God is going to reach down by his Spirit and just bring thousands out of that into the true knowledge of the Messiah. And I see that as the thing that's hot on God's burner right now.
And of course, the thing that excites me so much, Mike, is that a large number of the leaders of these various New Age groups and a large number, at least percentage-wise, of the members happen to be Jewish people. And I think it has to do, Mike, with what the Bible says when it talks about the Jew in the New Covenant. It says the Jew requires a sign. And if we've never seen the authentic, then the counterfeit looks inviting. And it's about time we start seeing the authentic.
I agree with you. Jewish people tend to be very hungry for supernatural realities when they're searching for the truth and the true experience of God.
Speaking of supernatural realities, you told me a story before we went on the air that is absolutely phenomenal that happened when you were in India, and unbeknownst to you, a group of radical Hindus were plotting to beat you up or perhaps even worse. Briefly tell me about that.
It was my first trip to India, and I love ministering in India because I love the Hindu people. Humble people normally. Hindu people tend to be very gentle and tolerant and good and kind, but there are radical elements within Hinduism that are very strong in trying to get Christianity out of India and any missionary activity. Well, I went to a city called Kumbakonam, which is a very strong Hindu center. There are seven huge Hindu temples in the town, a huge baptismal pool where thousands of Hindus baptize themselves in the hope of washing away their sins simultaneously, huge baptisms. And I was the first Western missionary to conduct a large gathering within the city limits, according to the pastoral council I work with. Well, these six men decided they were going to storm the platform, beat me up, and then tie me to the bumper of their car and drag me through the city.
Well, you never would have gone to that meeting if you knew that ahead of time.
I probably would have prayed long and hard about that one. But anyway, I preached that night in the midst of a lot of demonic oppression. There was so much unbelief and so much ignorance about the things of God. And we had about 5,000 people that had gathered. And right at the end of my message, God spoke to me with a word of knowledge, and he said, call for the deaf and tell them that if what you've preached is true, that every deaf person will hear again. And I'd like to say that I acted on that word boldly without any concern, but I was shaking like a leaf inside. And I called for the deaf, and they brought seven to me. Four were totally deaf. Three were deaf in one ear. And I called for one of the totally deaf persons first and began to pray for him. Well, about the time I started praying for him, I heard this crunching sound behind me that later on I found out was a sledgehammer in the hands of one of those radicals striking a huge padlock on a 20-foot-high gate behind me. Well,
So they could get in and do their business with you.
Right. That was supposed to protect me from something like that happening. Well, anyway, about the time this young man jerked out of my hands and started screaming that he could hear again, the gate swung open and these six men came running toward me with this fierce look on their faces. Well, the head of the group suddenly stopped dead in his tracks and looked at this young man jumping up and down, screaming that he could hear. And he walked over and began to talk to him and whisper in his ear and have him repeat back to him. And he was just marveling at it. I didn't find out until the next day that these two guys were next door neighbors. And so he knew that it was not some put on to try and manipulate an audience. He knew that young man had really gotten a miracle. Well, now, I didn't know these guys came to beat me up. All six of them started inspecting this young man and confirming the miracle. And so while they were doing that, I prayed for the second person, and the second one got healed. And I sent him to this group of men to verify the miracle because they were acting so involved in the process. I thought they were possibly even a pastorally appointed checking committee to verify the miracles. And we went through all seven people. Every single one of them got healed, verified by those six men. And I gave an invitation shortly after that. And over 500 Hindu people gave their hearts to the Lord that night, including the six men that came to beat me up. They found Jesus that night. And I just saw what a miraculous, marvelous way the Holy Spirit can orchestrate things and make all things work together for our good.
Mike, I've met many people like yourself that travel the nations and see the most marvelous miracles. I mean, to have that number of deaf people all healed, that's like the Bible. That's the way it's supposed to be. Why don't we have it the way it's supposed to be in the United States?
Sometimes I believe, Sid, that it's because healing or a miracle from God is far too often our second option. People, when they have problems, turn first, and I'm not saying this degradingly. I have a lot of dear friends who are medical doctors, but their first area of trust is to trust in what doctors.
Listen, Mike, I take vitamins. I go to doctors, but there's something backwards when you're seeing more promotion for vitamins on Christian TV today than you're seeing a healing in the atonement.
I think that's a bold and strong and true statement. Something is wrong with that.
Mike, I want to go back to the beginning. You were an instructor of yoga at four universities. I didn't realize they taught yoga at universities.
Well, I was not a paid staff member. I was just given the facilities. That's back when they had no qualms, I guess, about letting their facilities be used by someone promoting a religious worldview. But I was at University of South Florida, University of Tampa, Florida Presbyterian College, of all places, and also a very elite school called New College down in Sarasota, Florida. I had about 400 students who were following my teachings.
That's a lot of students.
Yeah.
But I understand the Tampa Tribune newspaper decided to write up an article about you.
Yes, and the article was called Yoga, A Trip Inside Yourself, and it talked about what I believed and what I was doing in the area, and I thought it would increase my class attendance. Little did I know it would alert this group of prayer warriors in town, this radical intercessory group. And they cut the article out of the paper and pinned it to their prayer board and assigned somebody to be fasting and praying over me every single hour of every single day.
Well, as we'll find out in tomorrow's broadcast, that totally turned your worldview upside down to the point where you literally told all of your students that this was not of God, what you had been teaching. That was pretty bold on your part.
Well, I had such a remarkable regenerative experience, such an encounter with God, that there was no doubt in my mind, Sid, that I had followed a wrong path.
But you cut off all of your income.
Well, yeah, that's true. I certainly did. I had to give up the house where I stayed, and it was an ashram where people lived and studied yoga.
Oh, my goodness. So it was even worse than your income. It was your everything about your life you had to get rid of.
I was homeless the first 7 days.
Mike, I tell you what, we're out of time now for this part of the broadcast, but God spoke to you and told you to write this book. It's called In Search of the True Light. There are a lot of books that mention the various cult and occult groups and explain why it isn't of God. But yours is the first one that I've seen that is really written in such a way that an unsaved person won't be offended by what you've written.
I did that purposefully because 5 years ago, God moved on my heart to make a supreme effort to reach people in my former mindset. And I was going to mail some free literature out to them, and I couldn't find any book in Christian bookstores that you could actually give to a New Ager or a person of Far Eastern religious belief or a yoga advocate and expect to win them. It was all what I call confrontational apologetics. And so I set about writing a book. It's 336 pages. It's very, very thorough. And I compare the beliefs of over 20 religions. But I do so, hopefully I try to do so in great love and great gentleness.
What kind of fruit have you had from the book?
Well, I've had two yoga studios shut down. I've had several yoga teachers find the Lord. And I get people from all over the world ordering the book to give it to their loved ones who are into the New Age.
Well, you know what I think so wonderful about it? Because you have the 20 main religions, but you approach it with such love that someone's going to actually read this book. And I happen to believe there are people listening to us. They have friends that are involved in reincarnation and meditation and TM and all this mishigas that's out there. And they've wanted to reach their friend, but there really isn't a book for them. I believe that if they get this book, read it themselves, and then give it to that friend, they're going to see a lot of people saved.
I've had people even give this book to their boss because it's presented in such a kind way. The information is presented.
Well, that's chutzpah. The book is called In Search of the True Light for a donation of $20. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.